Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning. You're listening to In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. It is going to be a great show today. I'm really excited. I have a good friend in the studio, Mr. Scott Pachter, who is the founder and owner of Appalachian Wines, just celebrated its 10th anniversary over in Chelsea. Before we get started, though, if you enjoy In the Drink, you can always subscribe to us on iTunes or listen to past episodes or listen to us live on heritageradionetwork.org. And when I'm not hosting In the Drink, you can find me at one of our restaurants, Del Anima, Lartuzzi, Lapicho, or Anfora, our wine bar. And I do want to highlight for those of you who maybe work in the industry or just like to drink very late at Anfora, we do half-price magnums after midnight, which is a really fun way to kind of end your evening. Also want to give a shout-out to Liz Smith, who's our engineer. This is going to be her last show with us before she goes and starts an exciting new career over at Bloomberg Media. She's working on a new podcast as associate producer, still unnamed. So we're excited and we're looking forward to hearing what you're up to, Liz. Thanks for everything here. It's been so much fun working with you. All right, Scott, welcome to In the Drink. It's great to have you in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations also on the 10-year anniversary. I'd love to get a sense from you how So for those of you guys who don't know Appalachian Wines, it is one of my favorite wine stores in the city. It's one of the, just a small handful that I actually purchase wine for myself. Focus on natural, biodynamic, organic wines, small producers, real growers who make excellent quality wines. Is that accurate?
No, it's always a pleasure to see you in the store. And to try and bring you back this week, we actually have a Foyard Morgon Magnums arriving today. So just to try and lure you back into the store, but we opened 10 years ago with a focus on organic and biodynamic production in the vineyard, and it's been an exciting 10 years.
Yeah, I imagine 10 years ago that was pretty radical. I don't know of any stores at that point who had that sort of focus. And now I feel like maybe there aren't stores that have that focus, but the idea of featuring those wines is less radical.
It is less radical. When people came in 10 years ago and you told them what the focus was, which we had to do because we didn't have big brands on the shelves at that time and we still don't, people were concerned. They were concerned that they would be tasting something that maybe sat on a shelf too long and had spoiled. And we had to, a lot of what we've done has been education and education through tasting, which has been fun for us and equally fun for them.
Do you find that new guests have changed? I mean, obviously, I think the people who keep coming back to your store, and thank you for the tip on, you know, I love Beaujolais, and you get some really fun, hard-to-find Beaujolais, sometimes stuff that has age or just producers that are really allocated and all of that stuff that's really exciting for me. I think it's the best value. And in my own personal cellar, that is, there's more Beaujolais than anything else.
It's also such a versatile wine. The Gamay being lighter in body, higher in acid, but having red fruit, it provides you a wide range of pairing possibilities. Plus, lower alcohol means you can enjoy more of it without feeling it currently or the next day.
Yeah. And so have you found that the people who come in who are maybe first time shoppers have changed over the past 10 years? In that, do you think that they are more open to the the kind of mission of your store, or do they have more knowledge about it, or is it still pretty much the same?
No, they definitely have changed. There's been a thirst. There's been a thirst in the sommelier community, as well as for purveyors like myself, for wines that are small production, and they're wines that are farmed with the farming of organic and biodynamic techniques, as well as using of ambient yeast for fermentation as opposed to inoculating with cultured yeast. There's been this thirst for it, and that has transcended to average day drinkers, let's say. And when you have people coming to the store, they're definitely more knowledgeable. They're more exposed to these wines, and it's exciting for us.
Mm-hmm. And you specifically highlight the use of ambient yeast. You know, I think that's something that I want to know why you highlight that, right? You can have a wine that is made entirely organically. And there are some wineries that I like who grow all their grapes organically, but then they decide to use a selected or inoculated yeast. Is that something that is important for you when deciding on the wines that you choose?
It is. It's not a make or break factor, but it is something that's important for us because we feel that it's also an expression of the vintage. It's an expression of the wine, and the least amount of involvement in the production of the wine we think is important. It actually gives what we think is a unique bottle.
And is that something I imagine that you taste when you're tasting with a winemaker or a wine salesperson? That's a question that you'll always ask.
It is. Yeah. I can be somewhat difficult when tasting because I tend to have a lot of questions, and whether it's about the farming that goes into the growing of the grapes or the raising of the grapes, as well as what's being done in the cellar. Those are all important pieces as to what's in the actual glass when you're tasting.
I have to say, I recently launched my own wine, Annona Wines, and I was really pleasantly surprised by the level of the amount of questions, the type of questions you're asking, and the notes you were actually taking while tasting. It's not something that you see when you're tasting with everyone.
Thank you for looking at it from that perspective, because there are times where a salesperson will look at me and think that I'm being a bit difficult. But it's really based on a curiosity, mm-hmm. as to what's happening in the vineyard. And there's this idea that if you have good fruit, if you have fruit that has been grown cleanly and with less inputs and comes from healthier vines, that you can do less in the cellar as far as bringing it into the bottle and into the glass.
Scott, where did this interest and passion in these types of wines come from for you personally?
Going back 10, 12, 13 years ago, when I first started in the business, I had the pleasure to work at Balthazar. Chris Goodhart, who was the wine director at the time, took me on, and I feel very lucky regarding that. And from there, I went to work for a large wine retailer. And to see what Balthazar carried versus what this large wine retailer carried, I received a wide breadth of the wines that were available. The larger retailer tended to, the wines that were more popular were from Australia at that time, as well as mostly New World, but they tended to be from wines that were bigger brands, and you had to have more control in the cellar because you were working with a wider range of fruit. People were less hands-on. And as a result of that, I felt like there was a similarity in the wines and that they lacked this individuality. And they also lacked this energy. And the more I questioned it and the more I was able to taste, I felt that organically raised grapes, or organically grown grapes, as well as biodynamically grown grapes and ambient yeast provided something that was what I wanted to drink, something in the glass I wanted to enjoy.
And you kept being drawn towards
Definitely.
Those wines. Very interesting. And then where did this idea of starting the retail store come up? You're like, oh, I'm working in this large retail store. I can do it with wines that I really love.
I had a little exposure working on the floor of a couple of restaurants. And doing that, I realized that was not my strong point. I enjoy having conversations with individuals, whether it be at a restaurant or in a store, but I felt that I had more time to do it in the store. And while I love the intensity of the service period in a restaurant, it's something that I'm a bit of a klutz. I tend to knock things over, and I needed a little bit more space. And that's why I gravitated more towards the store.
Yeah, and you really do provide a sommelier level or plus kind of experience. You don't have 1,000 wines in the store. You take good notes when you're tasting them, and you know them very deeply. And I find that I learn when I go into your store.
Thank you. It what's nice is it's an exchange of information. When you brought the Annona wines in, I was able to learn from you, and as a result of asking questions, maybe you do take something from away from me, and that's a big compliment.
Yeah, it was helpful for me too, because I got to say, oh well, I better, you know, that is a question that I need to make sure that I for sure know the answer to.
Well, I believe we were one of your first visits, so
yes.
It was good that we were able to expose you to what pitfalls there may be.
I appreciate it. And what are some of the questions that people are asking of you now? What are people, now that maybe they're more comfortable with the idea of organic or more naturally made wines, what is the next level that they start asking you about?
They're looking for new varieties, unusual varieties. They also... skin maceration was some for white wines. Longer skin maceration whites has something that's been popular with the sommeliers for a few years now. But we find that we still have a lot of customers who are coming in inquiring about them because they've been recently exposed for the first time to those. And a lot of what we're trying to provide information wise is the way we recommend serving the wines, i.e. white's not too cold, red's not too warm, which we find is something that people have been talking about for a couple of years, but it's always an individual conversation, and it ends up being a unique conversation many times.
Interesting. And that's a launching point for a deeper conversation, just the temperature of the wines.
It is. And also that's part of the experience as to what they're pairing it with, or are they drinking it on its own, almost what we call a cocktail wine. Mm-hmm. Most of the wines that we sell tend to be lower alcohol, higher acid. They're meant to be paired with food, and that's the way we promote our wine in the store.
And that makes a lot of sense to me. Do you have, I know you guys always have some sort of fun little tastings going on, or sometimes even like larger events in the back. What do you have planned?
So, I'm so happy you asked. For this week, when it's very cold outside, we encourage you to fight the winter chill and come into the store, because on Thursday, tomorrow, we have Andre Razumovsky of Alpamonta, an organic and biodynamic estate in Mendoza, Argentina, growing Malbec. And then on Friday, we have Gideon Beanstalk of Closeron, which we're beyond excited about having him in the store.
Those are fantastic wines that you can find at Le Picho, at our restaurant Le Picho. I'm going to try to make it for that. I know very, very little about Malbec and about Mendoza wines. Is that something that I've always thought of your store being a lot of European wines and certainly California. Have you had success? I know our guests ask for Malbec all the time.
My palate has gravitated towards old world wines, i.e. European wines. But we had an employee a couple of years back who's now going into the UC Davis program to learn viticulture. His name is Michael Halasian. He worked with us a couple of years ago and introduced us to New World wines, saying we were missing the boat. And we're finding some amazing wines. Closeron, Gideon's wines, they are small production. He's purchasing fruit. They tend to be around 12% alcohol. He's foot crushing the grapes. He's using no enzymes. It's ambient yeast. And they're tiny production. We're talking about 2,000 bottle production. And they still retail in the $30 to $40 price range. They're extraordinarily delicious.
They are beautiful. They are beautiful. And even those South American wines are, because that's something where it's like customers ask for it. And I wonder that the people who ask for Malbec, if you give them something that is made in the style, a Malbec in the style of wine that maybe we both like, maybe they would not be as into it.
Sure. There, and that comes into asking a number of questions. Mm-hmm. And it's also reading the customer. Sometimes customers don't want to answer as many questions. They might be in a rush. But the question ends up being, would they be open to a Kohar, or do we need to stay with an Argentine Malbec?
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. And then when you sort of figure out what is it, is the side, do they just want something that's fruity and juicy? And then maybe you stay away from the really earthy Kohar and maybe go towards like Barbera or something like that.
Exactly. If you're coming into the store, there are a number of questions as to what do you typically like to drink? And oftentimes we'll receive an answer that says, I like a wide range of wines, at which point I tend to ask, what have you had recently that you really liked? And that tends to help us focus. And what I like to do is find a wine that I think they'll enjoy. And then in addition to that, try and provide a risk wine, something that there's a little bit more risk involved, but I've hedged my bet by providing a wine that I think that they'll like, that's more within quote unquote the wheelhouse, but also providing a wine that maybe is pushing them but nudging them in a direction that might be a new adventure for them.
Right. On that note, we are actually going to take a quick break. We'll be back more with Scott Pachter of Appalachian Wines. Sure.
Grandma lives in Florida, and every time I call her, she's always like, I know it's you because I can hear the smile in your voice. Growing up, when my grandpa was still alive, he loved to fish. So we had this saying, Grandpa catches the fish and Grandma cooks the fish. So she always used to make the best grouper around. My sister and I would always be like her little helpers in the kitchen during that process. So, and sometimes we'd go fishing with my grandpa. I actually love the seafood counter. Ever since this store opened, there's always been like something special about it, like seeing the full fish and like seeing them cut everything and fillet everything by hand. And I'm a big fish eater, so it's just has a special place for me. My name is Jennifer Heal, and I'm the social media and digital marketing specialist for the Northeast region of Whole Foods Market.
This has been a message from our proud partner, Whole Foods Brooklyn. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
All right, and we are back on In the Drink. I'm here with Scott Pachter, the founder and owner of Appalachian Wines and Spirits, and craft spirits, some really beautiful ones there as well.
And I know nothing about spirits. That is purely Andrew Schaefer's domain. Andrew joined the store 5 years ago and has been an enthusiast on a number of levels, including helping me manage the store. He's been instrumental and has developed this great spirits program where spirits used to be, I don't want to say an afterthought because I might get into trouble for that, but when they would come in for wine and they might want spirits, now they're coming in for spirits and we're trying to talk them into wine as well.
Yeah. And how does the mission of natural wine kind of inform the spirit selection? How do you choose? I know when I go in there, I don't see, even as someone who is a spirits buyer, or at least works with the buyers in our restaurants, most of the spirits you have, I don't recognize, which I think is cool.
Andrew tastes a great deal of spirits, and based on that tasting, he's formed an opinion as to what he wants, where he has this universal approach, or I guess a global approach, as to trying to find a number of different categories to represent, as well as different price points, but he has very little space, so he's had to be quite creative, and I think it encourages them to taste even more. And what he's built, it can simply amazes me on a daily basis.
All right. And Scott, during the break, we were actually talking about a topic that you have particular interest in right now.
It's a little bit obscure, but this idea of microbial activity. Alex Zahel was in the store 2 weeks ago. Heather Meyer from Winemonger, an importer, brought him into the store, and we were talking about cover crops and this idea that they're experimenting with different cover crops to promote different microbial activity in the soil. And that's another way of really focusing on organic agriculture. And what I found, it was a fascinating conversation. But this past Sunday in the Times, in the New York Times, there was an article about cover crops and how there's been experimentation here in the U.S. with cover crops, even on a large scale, and that you have bigger companies such as Monsanto and the Waltons of Walmart who are investing in research to figure out what's happening. And this idea of microbial activity, even on your skin, and how it affects your digestive system. There's a lot that we'll end up learning in the next so many years. My son, who's in second grade, when his class becomes doctors, I think that's going to be the great focus.
Interesting, and that's actually something that can be measured: the amount of microbial or biological activity in the soil.
It can, and the question is what cover crops promote what microbial activity, and which ones are more beneficial. Mm-hmm. Beneficial than others.
Interesting. And we've actually had two producers on recently who have a new Italian certification for biodiversity, both Ronchi di Chala and then Ferrari, which I would think they're a larger producer. I was actually surprised to hear that they have this new biodiversity certification in Italy. And that really speaks to exactly what you're talking about, that you have a healthier ecosystem, healthier soil if you have multiple types. Because people look at a vineyard these idyllic pictures of vineyards with row after row, and they don't realize that actually that's a monoculture if you don't have the cover crop in between.
Definitely, and the soil ends up being compressed. It lacks this cushiness that it lacks. And what ends up happening is it's not absorbing rainwater. It's not there are no longer nutrients in the soil. You have a lot of runoff. The more microbial activity you promote, the more activity you have under the soil, which you can't see, but it allows for you to have healthier vines as a result, as well as to keep your soil and have less erosion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember reading an article a few months ago about someone in the New York Times who went maybe a month without showering. Did you read that one as well?
I did. I don't remember what the result was, but I do remember reading it. It's interesting because you have people who use hand sanitizers, and you're not only are you killing bad bacteria, but you're killing good bacteria. And it's funny that there's this idea in life that we're always trying to find a balance. Well, you have bacteria on your skin that's trying to find a balance, and you also have bacteria in your gut that's trying to find balance. I actually have I have ulcerative colitis, which affects what I eat, and it's because I, in my opinion, and obviously not coming from a science background, but I feel like I've lost that balance in my gut, and I'm striving to find that balance so that I'm able to live a healthier lifestyle.
Wow. Can I ask, what are you doing to find that balance?
There are certain things that I've had to cut out, such as gluten. I have a sensitivity to gluten. Mm-hmm. I also have reduced dairy intake, those types of things, much to my wife's chagrin, because I've become a more difficult eater. But I also try to exercise on a regular basis, which is more difficult to do with two young kids, and also a business that commands a lot of my time. Those are important pieces. And it's funny because it's such a, not a cliche, but it's something that's used a ton. It's used tons. We're always looking for balance, whether it be balance in lifestyle, whether it be balance, the type of food you eat, and the drinks you enjoy with your food. It's all about balance.
Yeah. And then balance in wine. I think that
exactly.
Raj and Jasmine have done such a good job with their In Pursuit of Balance. And mm-hmm. it's become almost a cliche word with wine to show a wine that does not have too much alcohol or too much oak, but a wine that is kind of in balance.
Exactly.
So, speaking more about wines, going back to your shop, congratulations, you've recently celebrated your 10-year anniversary, which is quite a milestone for a New York City wine retailer.
Thank you. It's definitely been challenging at times to get here, but we're very fortunate to have customers like you and champions of the store like you. And it's something that's been very important in our journey to arrive here.
And speaking of your journey, you're going to be actually making a small move.
We are. Thank you for asking. We as we've come up upon 10 years, we looked at the store and said, maybe this isn't the most efficient model that we have, that we have a lot of space. And so we decided to move 1,000 feet from our current location up to 23rd and 9th Avenue. And this is all contingent upon the New York State Liquor Authority approving our license application, which we had to apply for because we're moving more than 400 feet from our existing space.
And you're moving 1,000 feet and you have to... That's crazy.
We had to go through the application process, which under normal circumstances shouldn't be an issue. Mm-hmm. But when you move and you have to apply for a new application, or when you have to apply for a new license, I should say, you indicate who are the four nearest stores to the new space. They're able to protest the move and say that there's no convenience that's being added by putting another store in the vicinity of the existing stores. And we've had to reach out to our customers for them to sign a petition to say, we do want to keep Appalachia in the neighborhood because it's the same, it'll be the same customer base. But it's still something we have to go through.
And you just had a sign up at the checkout saying, hey, this is happening.
We have. We've encouraged customers to sign up in the store. We've also encouraged them to write letters and send them in via email. And these are letters that are addressed to the New York State Liquor Authority saying we want to keep Appalachia in the store. We actually have 1,400 signatures.
1,400. That's amazing.
We definitely, wow. we've been pleading, we've been begging, and also smiling at the same time. But it's important that we are able to continue doing what we're doing.
I think so too. I don't think, not only is there not another store like that in Chelsea, but there's no other store like that in New York. I mean, I think you really were at the beginning of a model for other people to start and do smaller, more boutique kind of stores. But the fact is no one else has you. And
that's very kind.
I don't know if you can include that in your application.
We would love to. We're going to take the soundbite and the transcript from it. We feel very fortunate to be amongst a number of great stores in the city. And then there's stores that share our passion and we share their passion. And we feel very, very fortunate to be a part of that community.
Yeah, as you should. It's something I worked in retail for maybe a year over at Italian Wine Merchants. I'm not sure if you knew that, but I always really enjoyed it. I enjoy the coming back and remembering. If someone comes back and remember, like, oh, how did you like that champagne? You know, did that go well with your dinner?
Those conversations are the best, and to be able to do that for the past 10 years has been a simple pleasure, and it's a pleasure might even be understating it. We've seen customers who've had kids that have gone off to college, mm-hmm. and have come back of drinking age, and now those children are buying wine for their parents. We've seen spouses die. We've seen pets die. We've seen births in families. We've been in some ways able to see this life cycle that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it brings a familiarness, a personality to this big city when you can shop in a small retail store and get to know the owner, the person who's chosen those wines out, and they get to know your palate. There's really, you can't do that by buying wine online or by buying wine in a mailing list. It's the way that I prefer to do it.
Thank you for highlighting it, and it's something that we encourage as well. Obviously, we know our customers by name, not just me, but my employees as well. When you come in, you're a recognized face, and it's something that's important for us because it's a part of with wine and as well as the spirits we now carry. There's a great amount of information, and we want to provide that information if that's what the customer would like to have.
Yeah. All right. Well, best of luck with the liquor license application.
Thank you so much.
You'll have all of Heritage Radio in the drink pulling for you.
Come by and sign the petition. We could use as much support as we can get. Thank you so much.
Please let us know how it goes, and we'll certainly let our listeners know, either on the show or we'll tweet it out.
Right. Thank you.
And I just wanted to give one more big thanks to Liz Smith. It's been such a pleasure having you as an engineer for this show, also working with Jack. You guys are awesome, but Liz, we'll miss you. Please let us know what you're up to. And I wanted to thank all of you guys for listening. This has been another episode of In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.